The information presented in this podcast is not intended for the treatment or prevention of disease or any medical condition, nor is a substitute for medical advice. The information contained herein in this podcast reflects only the opinion of the author and presenter and is in no way considered required practice.
Welcome to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connects your brain to your brawn.
Hi, this is Eric Fiorello, and I want to welcome you to Motivation and Muscle, streaming radio 24/7. Today is the last day, December 31st, 2017, of 2017, if you can believe it. We're looking at 2018 for everybody. Big banner year, lots of health, wealth, and obviously just getting along out there and doing the very best you can. That's what matters. I do this every show. We've been doing this for 2 months. I have our good friend Bill Crawford coming in momentarily, so he's probably not heard this if he hasn't listened as of late, but stand up, take a deep breath through your nose, out through your mouth, and repeat, I am a champion, I am a winner. Why? Because that is just the beginning of the self-talk I do here, and everybody knows what I feel now about how you build from the inside out, and obviously without getting into any more of that, we will get into more of that, and in a big way in 2018, because we've already started that battle here and everywhere else. Also, too, go out to FiorelloBarbellCo.com, our product, Winners and Champions, Inc., that's 14 modules just loaded. If you like all the old style stuff, you like result producing things, and most of all, you want to have a brain that's like a piece of marble where I don't even think anymore. I pretend literally that I'm taking a chisel and chiseling words of inspiration in my head all the time. It can do it. You can do it because you can make yourself believe anything if you want. So check that product out. Also, too, contributions to the company, same thing, FiorelloBarbellCo.com. All you got to do, there's a $25, $50, and $100. The $25 will get our first module on the Winners and Champions, Inc. The second will get the first module and you'll get a half an hour of free consultation with me, and $100 will get you the first module off the Winners and Champions, Inc., and you'll get one full hour to talk about anything you want. And there's an awful lot of interesting stuff going on in my backyard right now, and I'm hoping to get the great John McKean on here early in 18, and we're going to talk about the mashing middies. Basically no leverage when you are powering everything up in your power rack. And anybody out there who likes to build equipment, I need a prototype. I have come out with a power rack that I've never seen on the market before. And guys like Bill Crawford are going to understand it when this thing is built, and I'll send him, obviously, video of it, because I know he'll be able to identify with what I'm doing with a few things, though it is not the same way. Very interesting stuff, and this will change, I believe, a power rack forever with what I want to do. So very exciting stuff going on here at FBC. Also, too, go out to motivationandmuscle.com/category/podcast. Look at all the shows Bill and I have done. We want to get Bill on regular, you know, schedules, and I'm working outside. But whatever it takes to get it done, that's what we are going to do. Also, go out to motivationandmuscle.com, sign up for our free newsletter. It's right there. I've been lax in that, but that will start up after the first of the year, obviously, and it'll be some very exciting stuff. I don't know how much we'll get out there, but you'll always get something, whether it's something new or a new blog post or Motivation Muscle, and you can't go wrong without that. Now, as I say, the power of gratitude will change your life forever. Things that you thought would never happen, things that you've wished upon forever and maybe have not taken the action you need to do, will start coming your way. And as I said, when I did the show last weekend on my own, gratitude for attitude, I thank three people who've been very prevalent in my life with lifting. And the first one was Anthony DiTillo. Talk about Power Rack. I mean, he's all over the place. He's got a couple books out. He wrote for Perry Rader for years. He wrote early on for Milo, I believe, in the mid-90s, which he had some fantastic articles out. And, of course, we lost Anthony. You just can't forget somebody like that. And I always think about that picture I put up. You look at his back and his traps and everywhere. It looks like a bookshelf when you do it. Outstanding. Then John McKean. John just turned 70, all-around lifter, big-time writer for Hard Gainer. But, I mean, you want to talk about an expert on the Power Rack, and he and I talk at least once or twice a week, and there's always stuff going back and forth. You talk about a young lifter's dream. I mean, I never thought in my life that I would be speaking with John McKean. Unbelievable mind, and he's even going to come up here to my house, and we're going to do some training this summer. So you talk about a kid's dream come true. Also, too, Steve Jack. If it wasn't for Steve and the DVD with Iceland, and I think that he probably really set the table for a lot of us, and the gentleman who will be coming here momentarily the same way with me, Bill Crawford, you can't replace these people. And that's why it's so important to get them on here, and we need to have their voices, whether they're with us or not, in a physical sense. So I want to say that. And before Bill comes in, I'm going to read an excerpt that Steve wrote for Milo in April 1996. It's called If a Tree Falls. If a tree falls in the forest, are you man enough to move it? By the end of the first week of Medieval Lit, I knew I was in trouble. Oh, I could handle the term papers and most of the old English. I was, however, having trouble relating to my classmates. We'd read legends of heroic knights and warriors, epic poetry of steadfast seafarers, and yet, when class dismissed, they'd prance to the sweet shop for coffee and cream puffs, while I, frothing at the mouth and battle-ready, would bolt to the nearest field to throw hammers and stones. Why? I was inspired. Inspiration is not a passive word. It is built on the Latin root for spiritus, from which we get spirit and literally mean breath or inhale. Yogis and pearl divers aside, there's not a lot to be gained from holding one's breath. I believe it is equally futile to stockpile one's mental arsenal and never wage war. Now back to our tree. It seems to have fallen and blocked your path. Some will no doubt stand around quibbling as to whether it actually made a sound. How about you? That's life, man. You're either going to go out and make some noise, or you're going to stand on the sidelines forever and complain. We don't do that here. With no further ado, welcome back, Bill. It's always an honor to have you on, my friend.
Thank you, Eric. It's always great to be on the show with you. I appreciate you having me on the show.
Anytime. I'm going to give you a little information about Bill, too. Bill is a medical doctor. He's a strong man, Highland Games competitor, he's a stone lifter, and he's a writer and speaker, and you know he writes for Milo, among many things. And we're going to kind of compile a lot of things into the mental imagery today. And Bill has been, he's got a powerlifting team, some young guys, he's coaching in his own gym at home. We're going to talk about that type of training, we're going to talk about Stoneland. We're going to get into a little bit of the Arnold, where they lifted some replica stones, Denny stones, and who knows where it could spurn from there. So, Bill, let's talk a little bit about the young power lifters you got. I think that, you know, my feeling on that, we talked quite a while offline. Give us some updates on that, and why did you get into it?
Well, I personally love to lift all the time, and it's a lifetime passion. And I just wrote an article this past Milo about, it's called Passing on the Gift.
Yep.
So I've had all these people over the years that have helped me become a better lifter and a better man and shape who I am. And, you know, at some point you say, I want to pass that on. At least most of us do want to do that. Because you realize the wealth of what you've been given and you want to be able to make sure that other people have it. And I coach my son, and I've coached other people off and on, and gone to some local gyms and been around some things. But, you know, I built a third garage stall, and I have, you know, it's just stockpiled full of old iron, you know, squat racks that were welded together and,
yep,
and, you know, custom-made things that you just don't find other places. My friend Steve Slater's done some things for me. But it really turned into wanting to, you know, not only just pass it on to my son. So the young man next door, he's always a powerfully built young man, and he, you know, just finished college. He's back with his parents to save money because he's getting married. And I had my appendix out the last day of March. So April 1st, I come home. We got a foot and a half of fresh snow on the ground, and I'm feeling all the, you know, like all bummed out.
Sure. I have
to take at least a month or 6 weeks off of training to heal up. And I go out to the – I hobble out to the mailbox a few days later, and TJ says, "Hey, Bill," you know, the young man TJ says,
"Yep.
Is the offer still open to teach me how to lift?" "Sure." So I said, "If I can't lift, at least I can watch somebody else lift."
Right.
So he starts off, and his first day he squatted literally 95 pounds.
Yep.
With some 5-pound plates under his heels. Because he'd trained some, you know, done some lifting in high school, but that's, we know what that means.
Yeah.
In a high school gym, misinformation, you know, accelerated. So
yep.
He could barely get through the first few sets with 95 pounds. And then he showed up 2 days later, and I said, "Okay, I think you might be into this." So long story short, earlier this month, he did a powerlifting meet. And this was a USAPL, which I don't know if you know about, you know, about different organizations.
Right.
USAPL is a drug tested federation. It also has an organization. It also has a lot of people think of an unfairly deep squat standard. So at a body weight of 222 pounds, the show man squatted 390.
Nice.
And fought, absolutely buried it.
Yep.
And then had a very successful meet. So along the way, I picked up a local TV personality, I'm sorry, a radio personality who always wanted to lift. And he got involved with us, a college football player who comes back and forth when he's home. He comes here and very good athlete. And then another young man, and then another, and a nephew, and then my son, and then, you know, all these young men coming in and out. But we've kind of formed a nucleus of people. I call them Team Fullstirker. I know you'll
like
that.
Nice.
We actually have T-shirts that say Team Fullstirker. And so we've hooked up with the USAPL because it's, you know, minimal gear, you know, really good depth on squats, and it's drug tested. I'm not saying anything about any other organization. I'm just being pro USAPL.
Yep.
Shout out to them. And they run their meets very, very efficiently. I mean, they'll run 40 lifters in 2 or 3 hours and get all the lifts in. It's very well run.
Mm-hmm.
It looks and smells a lot like Olympic lifting because they have Alico equipment, and it, you know, the way they have that flair to it. But anyway, so mostly what I'm doing, and this is what I wrote in the article, I tell them, I'm not trying to make you strong men. I'm trying to make you a strong man.
Exactly.
And so the difference is that you can lift all the weight in the world, but if you don't have strength of character, I'm not sure what you're actually doing with yourself. Just like, you know, you were talking about Steve Jack.
Yep.
You know, he talks about amassing an arsenal. Well, what's an arsenal if you don't use it?
Exactly.
The same thing. I wanted to pass on this gift, and you know, I want to use the arsenal that I have, but I want to teach these young men and other people that you can do these kinds of things, and you can actually make yourself a better person. So that's the main piece of this, and teaching yourself. We were talking before the show started about, you know, we live in New Hampshire, you live in upstate New York.
Yep.
It's not exactly the Bahamas here this time of year. It's particularly cold.
Yeah.
You know, if it's 10 below outside, my gym is 10 below. So
yep.
I crank up the propane heater and I blow it in the, I blow some heat into the gym. So that to literally take the ice off the weights.
Absolutely.
It reminds me of a story of Dmitry Klokov. He was a silver medalist in the Olympics in 2008, I believe. legendary Russian weightlifter, and they had a small wading pool at his house. It was about 12 feet long, 8 feet wide, probably 4 feet deep.
Yep.
And this young man, every day for 5 years, and this is Russia, by the way, every day, I mean like in the winter, every day, he would break the ice
yep.
or whatever, and he would dip himself, completely submerge himself in this pool.
Yep.
And he said that strength to be able to go out and do that every day was the difference between him becoming a champion and not.
Yeah, yeah.
And so that's completely the difference.
And I agree with that because I think there was an article in Milo, might have been, I don't know if it was Vic Boff or something, they talked about the tempering out in the cold. And, I've read things and I've done it too. I don't have like a little lodge outside to sit in and get nice and hot and then go roll around in the snow. But, anytime I go out, if I've got to get the paper or out in the yard or dump the trash, I'm in bare feet all the time. And the air here has been absolutely fantastic, I think, to lift because it's so cold and crisp. And I wrote a thing the other day when we put a show up. I said, there's nothing like that vibrant feeling air in your lungs. The sun was beating beautifully with the most beautiful blue sky. And the thing I love is to hear that snow crackling under your feet because it's so cold. All right. That to me is what changes the dynamics of what type of lifter you're going to be. So when the pressure is on you, no matter what situation, you've built that tenacity within you to withstand anything. And even if it rolls over you, you have the ability to come back. And that is sorely missed, I think, and especially a lot of the youth and the younger guys coming up now, because, we've done multiple shows on this, Bill, where a lot of the things we like to do are highly discouraged by society, and they don't see the merit or the wealth in it. And when you're talking about building character, I call this strength resolve. I did a video on this for the business, obviously. And it was like the center, the hub, and it branches out everywhere. And when you build those things over and over after time, especially when you have guidance of someone like yourself, something happens to you. And I can't really put a thumb on it. I could use words, but I know business-wise and everything too, you almost relish somebody taking a pot shot at you or getting hit right between the eyes because you build this type of ability to withstand. I'm not saying you don't get knocked down still, but you always decide to come back. And, as we always say, I went to the island to fight, I burned the boats. I was either going to survive or I was going to die. It's the same way out in my yard right now. I think it's like 10 below right now. The wind isn't there, but when we're done with this, I have some things to do. I'm going to go out every day. I do maybe a little bit of neck work with a harness, just something to hold grip-wise. I'm done. Just something to engage my body enough where I feel I'm making a difference. And see, this is the thing, I think, and I'll get right to you. I think with people a lot, especially in what we like to do, it's always all or nothing. You're never going to get all. You'll get nothing if you do not take the small steps, as we always say. How do you initially come in to train? Well, you learn the deadlift, the squat, and some form of pressing. I prefer overhead. But if it's executed properly, we know the bench press is a very good movement. I just think when you do things on your feet, not your back, that's me. Go ahead and take it.
Well, it is about people criticizing what you do. And if you want to talk about quotes, my favorite is Teddy Roosevelt's Man in the Arena. It is not the critic who counts.
Right.
Not the man who points how the strong man stumbles or where the doer of deeds may have done them better. The credit belongs to those who are actually in the arena, whose mm-hmm. face is marred by sweat and dust and blood, who strives valiantly, who errs, who comes up short again and again, because there's no effort without error and shortcoming. But those who actually strive to do the deeds, who knows great enthusiasms, the great devotions, who spends themselves in a worthy cause, mm-hmm. who at the best knows in the end the triumph of high achievement, and who at the worst, if he fails, at least fails while daring greatly, so that his place shall never be among those cold and timid souls who know neither victory nor defeat.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
That's exactly it. Because you'll always have people that tell you can't.
I remember once when I was getting ready to walk onto a platform, I'd missed a clean and jerk at a regional competition, and my coach Jack King was with me, and someone said right before I was walking up to the platform, and I'll remind you, if I make this lift, I'll win the competition and move on to the nationals. If I don't make this lift, I lose and I don't go.
Yep.
And so the coach for the other lifter that I was, you know, directly competing with, who he and I were really battling it out that day, he said he'll never make it. And if you go to Olympic lifting is very quiet before a lifter lifts. But he said it, and it echoed in this auditorium. And I was like, man, I thanked him afterwards. I said, thank you. I said,
yeah,
you made me lift that weight.
Yeah,
more than anything my coach could have said.
Yeah.
He'll never make it. And he said it loudly, so much so that one of the side referees looked over and went like, man,
yeah.
You know, wow, buddy, watch it. You know, like we're going to disqualify your guy. You know, that's what the judge told me. But I went up and executed a, you know, 400 plus pound clean and jerk. And that was it.
Yeah, absolutely. You
know,
yeah.
I couldn't have had a better thing be said. Some people don't get some people allow that doubt to creep in.
Yep.
Ask yourself why not? People always ask why. Just say why not.
Yep.
Why can't I be better? Why can't I do something that allows me to step up and to be better than myself? If I lift five more pounds, I lift five more pounds.
Mm-hmm.
If I get one more rep, it's one more rep. And it's that daily journey, but I'm at least striving to become better.
Yeah.
And that's all that is. And then helping other people become better, you know, better. I have to live vicariously because sometimes I get, you start to pile on a few injuries and I'm 55 now, even though I feel strong and I can still lift pretty heavy.
Yeah.
I want to see other people do it. I want to see us, really get in there. And I say people because I'm trying to attract a female lifter into our gym who's had some success in the past as a powerlifter, and I'd like to get her in there. You know, the whole thing is just let's just become better.
Yeah.
And even a little bit better is better than where you were.
Well, you know, you'd be surprised. Well, you know, I'm not going to tell you, but even people that are established lifters, you know, sometimes just saying a few words that you feel are just ordinary things, it has an effect on people because, you know, I always say this at the end of the show, you know, like my mom always said to us when we were kids, you know, never be afraid to say hello to someone or give them a smile. That might be all they get that day. And I used to have to think, what? But she said, you'd be very surprised. Well, yeah, but you know from being a doctor, and I know from dealing with people on a one-to-one level or whatever here, you'd be amazed that some of the things you say that you take for granted mean the world to people, and they'll tell you that or they'll send you a note. You know, I'll get stuff about the show, and it's like, you know, you don't think of it that way, but somebody out there somewhere, in my opinion, is starving. And by that, I mean they are starving for someone just to say, hey, you know what, good morning, or you did a great job today, or look, this is something we got to do to correct this, and we're going to take action and get you where you want to go. But as Steve Jack would always say in his video, you must learn to shoulder some responsibility, and that's a big thing. But words have power, and people are very inclined in this day and age, too, to say things and not think, in my opinion, more so than ever. Do you have to measure everything you say? There's no way any of us can. Do we screw up? Yep, we do. But if you screw up, you've got to be man enough or woman enough to go to that person and say, hey, look, forgive me, please. I want to keep working with you. Or what can I do to help you out? That's what a real strength athlete does. They don't keep things to themselves, and they don't say, well, a prime example you and I both know, I call it the Facebook theater. Do I need it for the business? Absolutely. 3/4 of the stuff out there, in my opinion, is BS, all right? And if you're going to be an impressionable lifter of any means, or even if you've been around and you're bumping your head, it's like trying to get up when it's dark out and you run into a door instead of opening it. This is what causes these casualties where when you and I are talking about the stuff we love to do, they're like, you know, we got talking about this the other day. They're only lifting a stone, or they're only lifting a weight. No, you're not only lifting something. You're doing more things than just lifting a stone or a barbell. And I guess this will lead into the next thing, and you can comment on anything with that, Bill. Let's go into a little bit of about Stoneland, and let's talk about the replicas in the Arnold, if you would, please.
Okay, Stoneland, the film that was shot by Rogue, that was privileged to be a part of. We shot it in August of 2016. It came out in December of 16. Over the last year, I believe between their Facebook, Rogue's Facebook and YouTube, it's in the 20-plus million range for views.
Wow.
When I was at the Arnold this past year, I had people come up, you know, and talk to me quite a bit about it. And it was a pretty prominent thing. I'd encourage you to look at if you haven't seen it. And it's, again, it's about the people, and that's what I tried to say in the film. It's not just about the stones; it's about the people.
Mm-hmm.
The people make the stones. It's the history of these stones. You lay your hands on a stone, and you say, "Wow!" Just think of how long stones are lifted, and what are their names, and who are these people, and what kind of greatness has touched that? There's very few barbells you'll ever touch, but these stones are there as a reminder of the people from the past. And so Stoneland, you know, it was really about that journey, and generationally so. You see David Webster retracing, you know, finding the Denny stones, and then the Inver, and he also basically reintroduced the Inver stone to the world. Mm-hmm. And you talk about the similar work that Steve did. Where would we be without, in stone lifting, without David having resurrected these stones?
Oh, yeah.
And worked to preserve them.
Yep.
And in Stoneland, we actually, the stones were taken away from the Belogi estate there at the Petark Inn, and taken, or Petark Hotel, and taken over to Aboyne, where they were held there by the Aboyne Highland Games, as that's where Donald Denny's from, is Aboyne. And they were preserved there, and we got to do a lift and hold competition. I personally didn't hook grip, and held it for several seconds with just a plain grip, which I found out later that, you know, pretty much everybody hook grips.
Yep.
That lifts the stones. But anyway, so it was just a small competition. It's in the film. It's fantastic. James Gardner did a great job of lifting and holding the stones for several seconds, I think 12 seconds total. And then that gave Jan and Terry Todd an idea. They had there were a pair of stones that had been made by Gordon Denny, who is a descendant of Donald Denny.
Mm-hmm.
And Gordon's passed on. I've met Gordon in the past. He actually saw me lift the Denny's the first time I did it with David Webster. But they had these replicas sent to Columbus, Ohio, and then en route to Austin, Texas, to the Stark Institute for Physical Culture at the University of Texas that Jan and Terry Todd are the curators for. But so we had a competition. It was Stevie Shanks. Anybody that knows anything about the Denny stones would know Jack Shanks' name. He was the man that first barehanded lifted the stones in the early 70s and really showed people that it was possible, because people lifted them with straps but not lifted them barehanded.
Mm-hmm.
And then Mark Felix and Ode Haugen and myself, and we had a competition where we held the stones for time.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd held them several seconds at Petark, and then I trained and I held the stones. But this time I worked on my hook grip, and I held the stones instead of several seconds. I held them for 28.12, I think, and I think
nice.
Mark had 32 seconds. I came in second behind him.
Yep.
And I walked off I'd always take my son to the Arnold. He looked at me and said, "Dad," he said, "you never held that weight for more than 10 seconds in the gym."
Mm-hmm.
"How did you do that?" And I tapped my head. I said, "It's all in here."
Yep.
So basically, in front of 5,000 people at the Arnold, you know, with all these people, with, you know, with Mark Henry and Kaz doing the commentating and cheering you on.
Yep.
It kind of, you know, it turns into, it's a mental thing. I'd done the physical preparation to lift the 333 kilos, which translates into the smaller the stones weighs. There's a lot of, you know, a lot of different weights that have popped out, but we had the stones actually, you know, metered and weighed.
There
were, the larger of the two weighs 411. Some people say 414. I'll say 411 is the weight, and the smaller the two weighs 321. Some people say 319. I've heard some weights bounce around, but roughly these are 730 pounds of stone.
Oh yeah,
that you hold on rings. But that was the bottom line. That it just turned into I'd physically got myself ready, but I mentally just stepped in and calmly did what I had to do.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's where it is. It was mostly mental.
Mm-hmm.
You know. Well, and stone lifting, stones, you know, like, you know, we talk about, seems we have a common theme today, Steve Jack, but like you said, you know, a barbell's made to be lifted, but a stone is defiant. I had some granite slabs made, and I had Half Thor come and against a guy named Steve Smith from Ohio, who's a stone pressing specialist.
Yep.
At the Highland Games this past year, I don't know if anybody saw that, we had it streamed, and it was all over all kinds of websites.
Yep.
They had a competition at our games where they pressed these slabs.
Nice.
And they ended up, they pressed a 308, they pressed a 330, and a 341.
Yeah.
I, 55 kilograms slab of granite. And let me tell you something. If you saw these things in person, you would not believe that human beings did it, but they both did it.
Mm.
And it was an exceptionally hot day for New Hampshire.
Yep.
And talk about mental.
I mean,
these are world class strongmen, but they had to really dig in there and go down and get that thing. And you know, the 10,000 people who were watching were really appreciative.
Well, Bill, let me ask you this. I mean, and something, I'll give a tip to people if they don't do it. I go and just buy heavy boxes now and mix up Quikrete and pour it in. And what mm-hmm. I grease the inside real good so I can get them either cut or slipped off. Then I've got a big grinder and I grind all the corners off for any sharp edges because I've been cut by those and you'll bleed pretty good on a forearm, no problem. But I'll tell you one thing. I think that type of stuff, sandbags, anything like that, they really transition over to your weight world big time. The thing is, there's a lot of stuff out about this and, you know, you and I talk about it and we talk about it all over M&M, but that's another thing that needs to get fueled more and more, too, because I've been talking about lifting natural stones now for over 3 years, and I think Charlie Oliphant said to me he had heard or something down the Arnold this year, this in 18, that they're going to start lifting natural stones. He goes, well, maybe somebody was listening to your show. I said, it doesn't matter, you know, whatever will help anything get out there, but I like the idea. You know, it's great. I've got all those steel stones we built for the Hoosa Steels, we call them, and all that. But there's nothing like the feel of a good, natural stone. But, you know, I like the idea of, you know, people lifting big pieces of concrete. Because what I do, I've done before, too. You know, when they're tearing up a road or anything like that, I'll stop and ask the construction guys if I can have it, some of it, because there's piles of it. And if they say yes, we'll come back with a truck and grab it. So I just like that feeling. You know, it's like the old stuff. It's like the old days when, you know, we were much more of a hands-on society. By that, I mean you worked with your hands a lot. And there was a difference in a human being, I'm telling you, from obviously the tech world we live in today. And when you talk about mental tenacity, the ability to create that type of mental imagery and stuff, let's face it, farmers, construction, ditch diggers, whatever they were, there was a fundamental difference in, I believe, everything, you know, and I love the idea of strength. I mean, it shouldn't be painful to pick up a grocery bag or your child or change a tire on a car or, you know, like with you and the young guys in the powerlifting, I mean, let them go walk with a ton of weight. They shouldn't have pain doing things like that, but there's much more of this sedentary life we live now, and things have become very convenient. And, you know, when you can have a phone and basically order anything you want off it pretty much delivered to your home, including fast food, there's not a lot of people wanting to go and engage in things that require strength and aren't comfortable. And I'll give it right to you. One of the things that I always like, that's one of the reasons when we talked about 21 Below the other day, you know, Stallone said it in Rocky Balboa, and I always loved that line. It was like, he always liked the idea of making himself uncomfortable. You know, he'd say, I'd stare at the streetlight until I couldn't do it anymore. I'd squeeze a tennis ball till my hand felt like it was going to explode. And, you know, the question, like always, is, well, why would you do that? Why would you go out in 21 Below? And that's what he said. He goes, when you can make yourself feel uncomfortable, the tasks and the things that you're going after are not going to affect you the way it would, like most people. And we always feel, I know, you know, we talk about people lifting this, lifting that, and, you know, we see people that are good, but then others get up there that did fabulous in the gym. You take them out of their element, and they choke big time. Go ahead and comment on any of that.
Well, the, you know, being uncomfortable, I call it playing to my left. In other words,
yep.
Being, you know, do something that takes you out of your comfort zone. You know, go after something that seems impossible. I mean, the first time I carried a slab of stone, I said, this is impossible.
Yeah.
But I kept at it.
Yep.
And then, you know, and you make a goal, and then when you achieve that goal, that journey that you took dwarfs the actual accomplishment.
Yeah.
Like Jan Todd said in Stoneland, she quoted Yeats in saying that we do things that are difficult because they are.
Yep.
I mean, that's why people are packing themselves into CrossFit gyms and I know CrossFit's kind of my line in some way, but I'll tell you what, CrossFit's put more barbells and more hands than anything since the York movement.
Yeah.
Or the big weeder movement with bodybuilding, but I think they've done even more. I mean, you know, I go to work and they're especially physical therapists and the nursing staff, there are these like moms and women come up to me and say, yeah, I'm doing CrossFit and I'm mm-hmm. working on my snatch. Can you help me? And I talk to you about that. I'm like, that's crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, 10 years ago, people weren't, you know, that was so far from what, how people were thinking. They'd gotten suckered into thinking that machines and this, you know, the more high tech
yep.
things that you can do will actually help you more and more, but that's not the truth. The more basic that you can make it, the better.
Yep.
I listened to a podcast the other day of my, I've got a chiropractor who's doing myofascial release therapy on myself and here in Concord. And by the way, if you're anywhere in central New Hampshire and you want a chiropractor that's myofascial release, he's at Performance Sports and his name's Brett Copeland, Dr. Brett Copeland. He's a chiropractor who he's been working on my shoulder, but he showed me a podcast, turned me onto a podcast, it's called The Savant of Speed.
Mm-hmm.
And basically he said the more boiled down that it gets, the more effective.
Mm-hmm.
So like when I'm having the guys, work in the powerlifting gym, I don't have them go through a series of exercise. When I bring a guy in, I'm said, I'm going to show you the special exercise. And they're thinking, man, this is going to be great. I've never seen this.
Yeah.
I have them do squats.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
lash yourself to this squat rack.
Yep.
And as painful and as evil as it is, I said, if you want to deadlift a lot or lift a big stone or just get strong, this here's the avenue. This is what you got to do.
Mm-hmm.
But we do. So the team meets and we go Monday, Wednesday, Friday.
Mm hmm.
And like you said, there's squat, pull, and press. That's
mm-hmm.
all there is.
Yeah.
So we do the squat, pull, and press. We do heavy, medium, light, and we go inside of that three times a week. Could I bring out more, you know, different exercises? I think maybe later down the road, if one or two of them become more, get stronger and then move towards maybe a national competition, we'll split up their workouts and add some things and get a little more volume. But, you know, If you're doing squat, pull, and press as hard as you can, and really the basics, think about the Russians
yep.
and all these countries that have the Chinese, all these countries that have stayed on Olympic lifting. I can tell you, they do very little outside the snatch, and the clean and jerk, and a back squat.
Mm-hmm.
They might include some high pulls. There's some specialized exercises that they have to do when they're for the younger lifters to get them where they can actually, you know, get positions and do what they should do. But once you get proficient, then it turns into just greasing that groove and just going after it over and over and over, just like lifting a stone. Once you get good at lifting stones, you just go ahead and start lifting and get that special feel for it.
Mm-hmm.
Basic, and that's what you stick with. Even when you're starting out, you want to stick with basic. You know, if you're a powerlifter, you squat, bench, and deadlift. And I remember talking to some old timers. I talked to Hugh Cassidy some years ago. You probably remember that.
Absolutely.
He had a powerlifting team, and they just basically met and trained the same old way. They did the same thing, and they did squat, bench, and deadlift. Where he said, what he described this, the first time I heard it described this way, squat, push, and pull. Then the overhead presses and some high pulls and power cleans and with their deadlifts. But it was super basic, and they did it three times a week. And it was light, medium, heavy. And they got a lot of results. I think that people are getting back to that. You know, there's been a lot of hubbub about some Russian powerlifters who were making all these records in the bench press. And so people said, how are you doing it? And they're like, we bench press four or five times a week. And people say, that's impossible. And they're like, okay.
Yeah, yeah.
If that's
yeah.
what you think.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Something that people don't talk about is actually practicing what you're trying to achieve.
Exactly.
And not just you know, training or working out. It's practice.
Yeah.
Like when I have the guys come, I call it practice.
Yeah.
Or training at the most, but mostly I call it practice. You're practicing lifting. You're practicing understanding what a heavy weight feels like and getting better at it.
Yep.
And that's all you're doing. So doing the three lifts and maybe adding some overhead lifting and some odd object lifting, and that's pretty much what you got. And that will take you to different places. There's so many places to wiggle room for rep schemes and how much weight you use. It's either volume or workload or intensity.
Yep.
And play those things off of each other and do, you know, this isn't, you know, we're not talking about not training in a sophisticated way. I do a three week wave progression for periodization for these guys.
Yep.
And they're starting to get it. Like, okay, we lifted my light day 3 weeks ago was a little heavier this time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're just adding a little bit. We're coaxing our body along. So inside of that, you can actually get to a greater place.
Yeah.
I think what's happened, and again, I mean, you know, people are listening, but I'm talking to the average person, the average soul who trains at home, who wants to just get better.
Yep.
I think what's happened to weight training is that too many chemical substances and too many fancy machines have been introduced over the last 40 or 50 years.
Yep.
Into the situation. You know, if you wanted to ask me who are the people that I think they are, who are the iconic strength athletes, I'll turn to John Davis.
Oh, yeah.
The first time he ever lifted anything, he'd been doing a lot of chin-ups and pull-ups and push-ups and things. But the first time he lifted anything was a piece of concrete they found in a playground.
Yep.
And some kids dared him to lift it. Probably weighed 150 pounds, but he pressed it over his head. And another kid said, hey, you should lift weights with me. And 2 years later, he was 17 and the world champion in weightlifting.
Yep.
You know?
Yep.
Or Norbert Szymanski.
Oh, yeah.
You know, World War II veteran, you know, 360, I think it was a 362 split snatch.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that cover, that magazine, I own that. It's iconic. The guy was built like Superman. He did the three basic lifts three times a week and, you know, squats. He did snatch, clean and jerk, clean and press, and squat. And that's pretty much what he did.
And Bill, remember this, he had a very severe back injury too that he came back from, you know.
Yeah, he was a bronze medalist in 60 and 64.
Yeah.
And only the great Russians and the last time he medaled, he was 40 years old.
Mm. Unreal.
He did a clean and press of over 400 pounds and he did the split style and snatch and the cleans.
Yep. Yep. Yep.
I mean, this guy was just super powerful. And by the way, I'm pretty sure he didn't have state-sponsored he didn't have state-sponsored scientists working on him. All he had was
good.
He said, if hamburgers and beer were doping, then I'm guilty. He said, other than that, he said, I just I worked my job, you know, raised my family, and I lifted at night.
Yep.
And just ate.
Yep.
But he lifted hard, and he did it over a long period of time.
Well, I'm with you because, you know, we were talking about the Rocky movies and the Arnold stuff, Charlie Oliphant and I, the other night. And no matter how you see him or not, it's just like how we talk on the show and what you and I are talking about right now. They inspired you. Maybe you thought, a lot of people, that stuff's a joke. Well, I don't know about you, in the 80s when I was watching Rocky movies, at 11 o'clock I'd be out. Well, at the time we had the gym down in my cellar, I'd be downstairs lifting. Why? I couldn't go to bed. I was too inspired and too happy and wanted to go down and make a change. It might have been doing a couple sets of squats and went to bed, but the point of all this stuff we're talking about, when you talk about a Shemansky or a John Davis, or, you know, I love Serge Redding, just the ultimate sheer size of that guy and how powerful he was, or a Bill March or any of them, all right?
Yeah.
You could never leave Paul out. But what I'm saying is, what did they do to you? Well, not only did they influence you and want you, and you wanted to be like them, whether you could or could not, you could always get better. And that's the whole gist of life to me. It's like, you talked about the basics, like we said. The basics of the mind, too. Because each small little step you take, even though you're not right where you want to be, and you and I both know none of us are ever going to be where we want to be. I always say there's one more adventure to do. There's one more thing I want to lift. That's how, at least I got to speak for myself, and I'll give it right to you, is that's how I think. Because I think all these types of things create a creative process in you that I don't know many things that do out there. And to me, it's one of the few things, as long as you can keep yourself fairly healthy, you could do right to the end of your life. I don't know many things like that, I don't know any. There probably is something out there, but lifting to me, and I'll just leave it all together into the word lifting or physical culture, other than being very fortunate to have two great parents and a great loving home, lifting's been everything to me. I mean, I've given up. I've spent just about every dime I got. I've got two businesses. We want to go national with this show and live next year. It's the foresight. It's the creative process. It's when you love something so much. I know people use passion a lot, but it's more than that. It's an inner you that to really be part of things like that, you have to experience this in a big way, and it takes a long time to do it, but if you're patient and you really want to do this stuff, it will change you into something that you're going to be basically the inventor of this. You're going to be the one that will seek risks out there that most people won't. You're going to be the one, no matter what, in the end, is going to be the one who's got the triumph, no matter whatever it is you do. Bill, I know we're getting near time, but take any, you know, answer any of that. Anything you want to hit, we'll just keep going.
Well, speaking of, like, you always want to have a goal, and you know, as an older lifter, I've worked on my shoulder with this myofascial release therapy.
Yep.
I've had this chiropractor work on me, so now I can actually lift my hand over my head. The main thing it did was allow me to put my hands back from my squat.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I like to do nice high bar squats. That's my favorite. I say high bar. I look at Paul Anderson. He actually high barred like that. I mean, I think it's just a personal preference, but
yeah.
I can now put my hands on a bar and then squat a good deep squat. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's just getting my shoulder back. There's evidence. I've did a recent search and wrote an article on this that people that have better leg strength when they get older actually have a higher quality of life and live longer.
Yep.
Grip strength actually has a lot to do with longevity. It's probably related to just having muscle mass and strength.
Mm-hmm.
So distance runners do not live longer. As a matter of fact, they tend to live a little bit less than some of them. Many times because, you know, if that were the elixir, that would cause people to live longer than the people who were distance runners back in the 40s and 50s or 60s, whatever. They'd be living to be 125 years old, and they're not.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we talked about Norbert Szymanski. He passed away this year.
Right.
We lost him, but he was in his early 90s, and,
yep.
You know, 94, 93 or 94 years old. You know, but he kept himself strong. So being able to stand and walk and deliver, so never let it go away. Dylan Thomas's famous rage against the dying of the light. That's what you have to do. You have to keep pushing and keep moving forward.
Mm-hmm.
But it starts at an early age, like you said. You'd be inspired, and you would go and lift weights and keep lifting. Some of it's just, you know, compulsion, you know, being compulsive about this stuff. This past Friday, I did a good squat workout, but I wasn't happy with my hand. And then yesterday I said, you know, the guys are lifting. I said, give me some of that. So I did some deadlifts.
Yeah.
The day after I squatted pretty heavy. I didn't deadlift really heavy. I just did a decent weight for some reps. And then I said after this, you know, I'm still not happy with how I squatted yesterday.
Yeah.
So I moved back up. You know, I did some low rep, sort of like hand positioning and feeling my way through it, and I felt better about my squat afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
And so afterwards, they said, "Didn't you just lift yesterday?" And I said, "Yeah." I said, "What are the rules?" And I said, "I don't know." And I said, "There are no rules."
Exactly.
So dare yourself to just be better. I mean, people that have Paul Anderson and Bill Peoples lifted in isolation.
Yeah.
Made it up. Paul would squat heavy three times a week. Nobody told him you shouldn't do that. The Russians, they basically were, you know, trying to get better at lifting. They found out, you know, that they could lift every day,
mm-hmm.
twice sometimes. You just condition yourself to do it, and you keep doing it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there are no rules, and you have to be smart about it. I'm not saying just throw yourself into the wall every day and hope something good happens, because it won't.
Right.
But you can also you can always, you know, back up a heavy workout with a lighter workout the next day or 2 days later.
Yep.
And practice and feel those weights and get better at it. But constantly just pushing yourself to be better and being better.
Well, that's why I like to go out on off days and, like I said, maybe do a little bit of neck harness work, maybe a thick bar bent row. And it might only be 125 pounds. It doesn't matter. See, the way I set it up mentally is it's more than it is. And when I'm out there and talking to myself, I'm constantly reinforcing I'm getting better. I'm getting back from a lift that much faster. I'm recovering. That's how I use those off days. And besides that, you said it. It's nice to go out and work a little form, really push some blood through. You don't have to be out there. I'm not out there any more than 15 minutes, if that. The idea is to move briskly. You're not using massive amount of weights, but what it's doing is it's really clearing me out mentally and physically. So when I go in another day later, I'm ready, obviously, to get out in the battlefield and go out and do something, you know, make a mark. So, a lot of people are like, well, lifting isn't rocket science. It is rocket science, and I'll tell you why. It takes a wise individual to be able to last, especially you've been going, what, 40 years, I think you said, Bill?
Yeah.
All right. And I'm starting to move up there too now. It takes a wise individual to be able to do big things and stick around a long time. So I disagree with most people with that. It is rocket science, because it takes a smart individual not only to be successful in what we do, and no matter what it is. You don't have to go to Iceland and lift a 418-pound stone, but I'd love to push you to go do it if that's what you want to do. Maybe you want to be the strongest guy in your neighborhood. Maybe you want to be someone that influences the 10-year-olds, the 11-year-olds, the ones that want to play sports but don't know how to get stronger. That's the point of all this, and this is where it's been lost. And like you said, I think a little bit at a time is starting to come back. But you got to be realistic with things, because this isn't a 90-day program we're talking about. This is a lifelong program. Bill, summarize anything you want, add anything you want, and put out, you know, anything that's coming up with you, and just hang on the line while I'll sign off, please.
So, as usual, heading into the Arnold, I'll be a part of the Record Breakers and there'll be some new events. You kind of alluded to some of that.
Yep.
But we're also having the second year that we're doing the Indoor Highland Games. We're very excited by that. We're very appreciative of Rogue's sponsorship and other sponsors that we have that are coming on with us for that. It was very successful last year and made it, 2 days of Highland Games indoors with special implements that were made by Rogue and indoor shot puts and that kind of thing. And then outside of that, it turns into taking my team to the USAPL powerlifting competitions and getting ready for the New Hampshire Highland Games later this year.
Nice.
These are all the basics and waiting for some things to thaw so I can go out and lift some stones. I put stones, natural stones, in my garage, and I've got a nice little platform. I lean it against the wall, I drop it down, I roll the stones up onto it, and I lift the weight. I did some of that yesterday as a warm up, basically, for doing some deadlifts. And by the way, you can always keep doing those things. I think the temperature was -2 here when I was putting my hand on the stones.
Yep.
It wasn't comfortable, but it makes you feel alive, I'll tell you that.
Not only that, they're a little bit slippery at times too. You know what I do? This year I did it with the sandbags and the stones. I took and went and bought those big long tarps, laid them on the ground, and then what I did is I kind of bunched as many as I could together in a rock pile and a sand pile, covered them with another tarp, and knock on wood, it's been pretty good. And I've got a lot of stones in my garage anyways. And, here's a tip, but it depends if you don't want to chip them. You know, I can tap them a little bit with a sledgehammer, and a lot of times they'll free.
I would like to finish this way. If you want I've just thought of this. My friend Greg Pickett.
Yep.
He and I text each other and send each other video clips quite a bit. Just to two old lifters that are keeping each other's heads in the game a bit and enjoy just talking about it and thinking about it. And,
yep.
Greg said, he said, be happy for what you can do and not what you can't do.
Mm-hmm.
So when you get older, that's kind of the idea. You know, I can't snatch heavy weights anymore, but I can do some snatches,
mm-hmm.
And I can still squat pretty good and pull and get my hands on a stone. I'm happy with that.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm still pushing. I still have goals. And that's the last thing I'll leave you with. Be happy with what you can do and not with what you can't do.
Absolutely. This is Motivation Muscle Streaming Radio 24/7. Go out to FiorellaBarbellCo.com. Obviously, Winners and Champions, Inc., 14 modules. You heard what we were talking about today. Everything's basic, but it's been a lot of movements that are not done many places, whether it's a dip, a pullover, a high shrug. It's all there. Also, two contributions to FBC and M&M. That's out on FiorellaBarbellCo.com. Go out. Anything that you can give would be much appreciated. Also, if there's a show you'd like Bill and I to do, FiorelloBarbell@NICAP.R.com. And if someone, obviously iTunes and Stitcher, give us a 5-star review. That's what we've gotten. To get our show in your car, go out to AHA directory. It's called AHA. You get M&M 24/7 in your car. Also, too, if someone seeks you out in the gym or the concrete jungle, never be afraid to give 5 inspiring words. We talked about that during the show. It does make a difference. You'd be amazed if you haven't done it. Just watch somebody's eyes light up when you just say something that is even kind to them. That really is something. And as my mom said when we were kids, never be afraid to say hello to someone or give them a smile for that day, because that might be all they get. If you're going to lift it, bend it, break it, twist it, pull it, squat it, press it. If you're going to lift stones, turn them into dust. Also, too, is the great Hoosa Steel Stone Crusher says in Blood Red Domination, we clear cut the path. We don't follow anyone's. Dominate, obliterate, and dent everything in your path. And as Russell Fur says, who's been listening to M&M from the very beginning and has been a guest on here recently again, when I listen to your shows, I swear there's testosterone dripping out of my speakers. Well, that is a fact, and I think you're going to see much more in 18, because obviously people have been sending me notes the last few days. Obviously, you're here to stay. There was never any question that we were never not going to be here, because just to let you know, folks, most podcast shows last 1 month. We're up 3 years, September 27th of 2017. We've got a lot more to do, and I'm looking forward to at least another 25 to 30 years of this and just keep growing. Also, too, Frank Klein, my greatest college marketing professor, repetition, repetition, repetition. And another thing he used to pound into our heads was winners never quit and quitters never win. Think about that. Very important. My dad, who we lost, it was just his anniversary, December 15th. Of many of the great things he would say to all of us was, be a leader, not a follower. Be a leader, not a follower. John Ridge, my greatest chiropractor ever, who was like a father figure to me, who we lost 3 years ago to cancer. He'd walk every patient in the door and say, keep smiling. Say that to yourself on your best or worst day, or just walk around and repeat it. You will feel a massive shift in the way you are, believe me. I thank all three of those men because they are just incredible. Also, too, be a steward of strength. Don't stand on the side of the road and watch the world go by. Tell 100 or more of your friends we're coming because we won't bash your door in. We'll blow the roof off your house. Join the family. Be part of the revolution. We need you, and you need us, and 30 years is quite a long time to make some big goals and do some great things. And as Les Brown says, you all have greatness in you. We'll take it two steps further. We believe in you, and we got your back. And I don't know a lot of people in today's world that would ever say that, but then again, we aren't like everyone else. Bill, it's been an honor to have you on. I wish you and your family a happy new year, and I look forward to speaking with you in 2018, my friend.
Absolutely. Thank you, Eric. Happy new year.
Same to you. Thank you very much. So, for Bill Crawford, this is Eric Fiorello. This show will be up Monday. And let me see. We got quite a week filled. We got Mike Nelson on. We got Charlie Oliphant on this week. We got Martin Janzik on this week. And we got Stevie Shanks coming up, Gareth Denyer, Steve Cotter, Paul Firepower Gray, and John Bruni, just to name a few. So we are already active, and we are going after the world. So everybody, have a great weekend. Like I said, Bill's show will be up tomorrow. The world's asking something from you. Go out and deliver. Thanks, everyone, and we will talk to you soon.
Thanks so much for listening to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connected your brain to your brawn. We'll see you next time.